Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Stephanie Domingo.
And Tex Lurs over here.
Ooh, over there.
Mm-hmm. I'm right over here.
I see.
Oh, hello there.
Oh, hello. We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing, and we'd like to acknowledge that. This is the show about whatever the fuck we want.
The minisode.
The minisode. We don't have no FOMAT. No mo.
No mo FOMO. FOMAT.
Correct. We be drinking, we be swearing.
Where's my whiskey?
There you go.
There she is.
Take your medicine. We're doing a little minisode. It's a continuation.
Yeah, we're talking about vaccines again today.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That episode was so good, though.
Thank you.
I learned a lot.
I felt like I needed to do something topical.
And I'm disgusted.
I know.
You didn't let me finish.
I heard the story and I was like, I don't want to talk about this, but I feel like I have to.
You did have to.
I love something topical, especially like an ointment.
Yes.
So last week I talked about some early primitive forms of vaccination and inoculation, but today, I want to talk about titties.
I was about to say, that sounds very similar to something
the singular of titty. No, I'm going to be talking about modern vaccines today. So today's vaccines are more studied, better understood, and safer than ever before. Mm-hmm. But just like any medication, there was always a very slight chance of adverse reactions.
Of course.
But today's vaccines, that risk is so rare, so very much more rare, in fact, than many medications that people don't give a second thought about taking. You are much more likely to have an adverse reaction to birth control than you are to a vaccine.
Yeah.
But people don't talk about birth control as if you're going to get some weird disease or condition from taking it.
And there's so many, sorry to interrupt.
No,
but
please.
There are so many drugs that just because they're legal and are normalized, we think that, oh, they're safe. And they're not. Aspirin causes horrible birth defects.
Yeah.
Causes horrible effects to the liver as well. And yet we take it every day. We don't think anything about it.
For some reason, vaccines are held to a much higher standard than any medication that we can take over the counter and not give a second thought.
Yeah. So much higher, like, scrutiny.
Absolutely. And despite the fact that we have quantifiable proof that vaccines are incredibly safe, this myth persists in our culture today that vaccines are somehow dangerous and unsafe. And this goes beyond the fear that somebody who gets a vaccine might experience a mild flu symptom or a sore arm for a couple of days. This is a different thing we're talking about. Facebook, especially, is overflowing with clickbait articles about children and adults alike who experience diseases, allergies, disabilities, autism, infertility,
autism,
heart conditions, paralysis, or even death after taking a vaccine.
But they're not talking about how most of these things are possible just with COVID.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The disease itself is much more. People who are becoming very disabled, people who aren't able to walk because of a really bad COVID infection.
Absolutely. Yeah, the disease is much more dangerous than the vaccine, but nobody's looking at that. So a lot of times these things that are popping up on Facebook and social media aren't even actual articles. They're just like memes that are like, this happened and it's terrifying. So you can't even check source information. But if it is an article and there is source information you can check, most of the time when you look into it, the source is nothing more than bunk science, fear-mongering, hearsay, or anecdotal stories about one person who got sick. Mm-hmm. Unlike 300 years ago, we know today that a vaccine is not going to actually give you smallpox or whatever a disease it is that you're going to inoculate yourself or vaccinate yourself against. But within the past 20 years or so, this fear that vaccines cause other diseases or other conditions has proliferated. So today I want to talk about why. So some of you may have heard the story of a British medical journal that published a study in 1998 claiming that the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine caused autism. After this story was published, it made huge headlines around the world, and parents started refusing to give their children the MMR vaccine. And once that seed was planted, the fear of vaccines just blew up. Not nationwide, worldwide. To this day, anti-vaxxers around the world use the fear of autism as the number one reason to avoid the jab.
That's disgusting.
Yes.
I have so many thoughts and feelings.
You would rather your child be dead than be autistic.
My sister Ebony teaches autistic children, and disabled people have always existed. It's the one disability that anyone can drop into.
Yeah.
And like you can still live. Like they act like autism is like this death sentence.
I know.
But absolutely. It's just like people who process information differently.
Yes. And the bottom line is vaccines don't cause autism. The whole thing was a hoax.
From the very
beginning.
Yeah, no, I know that.
In February 1998, a prestigious medical journal called The Lancet in the UK published a study by British doctor Andrew Wakefield that claimed that the combination measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine had links to autism. His theory was that the measles virus left in the vaccine from the MMR caused both gut and brain-related symptoms that could affect brain function and cause autism in children. In interviews and a press conference after the publication of this study, he repeatedly stated that the MMR vaccine should be split into three individual vaccines because combination vaccines, in his mind, were, quote, too much for the immune system of some children to handle. Would you like to guess how many children were participating in the research that he published in this paper?
Six.
12. 12 children.
All I know that it's like, it's mocked. Like, yeah. I know that it was in The Lancet. I know that, I mean, shame on them for even publishing it.
Absolutely. Shame on them for publishing
it. But, like, they've taken so much heat because of it. And, like, they are doing better now. I mean, again, shame on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
This never should have been published. 12.
12 children who supposedly developed autism after vaccination. Because of this study and
it's essentially
uproar,
a case study.
Absolutely.
Which cannot be generalized.
And it shouldn't be in a respected medical journal.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Not in this way. Not in the way that it was presented.
No. Not at all.
Since this study came out, because of the study and the uproar that it caused, there have been several large-scale, rigorous, peer-reviewed studies since 98 showing that there is absolutely no relation between the MMR vaccine or any other vaccine.
And this, like, drives me crazy because so much money was put into disproving this study that was already on its face. Like, if you read it, garbage.
Absolute
like,
bullshit.
Why would you even spend, like, money that could have been diverted to things that actually matter and that could have advanced science?
Absolutely.
We're just refuting lies?
Yeah,
absolutely. Over and over again? Because
no, we're spending a ton of money to prove some random lie from some random douchebag is a lie.
But that is the process of science.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating because there's so much pop science and junk science
absolutely.
That make headlines and people.
Well, and that it's all about headlines. It's all about getting people to talk about it. And that's the issue. But so all of these studies have also proved that combination vaccines are just as safe as individual ones.
As they always have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
So most people who believe in modern science and medicine know that Wakefield's study was discredited and The Lancet eventually retracted the article. But what a lot of people are not aware of is that the Wakefield paper, far from being an honest mistake of just someone that was sort of overzealous and got excited about his findings, this was outright an intentional fraud from the very beginning.
I didn't know that.
The whole time. So as the world was losing their shit over this study, an investigative journalist named Brian Deer started to dig into Wakefield's data and data.
Both,
yes. And he also started looking into any motivations that Wakefield might have had in making sure that his results turned out the way they did.
He needs to be in jail.
Absolutely, yes.
I mean, I don't believe in jail, but also I believe in it for him.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So in a series of eye-opening articles in the British Medical Journal, Brian Deer described how Andrew Wakefield misrepresented and even altered the medical details of every single one of the 12 children he included in his paper.
Wow.
Every single one. He simply invented.
So wait, is he still a doctor today? Nope. Because that's for, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But it took a long time to get him.
I mean, yeah. He's altering all of his data.
Yes.
Absolutely. All of it.
All of it.
You can't do that.
He simply invented the quote unquote fact that all of the children showed their first autism related symptoms soon after receiving the MMR vaccine. When in reality, some of them had records of symptoms before ever being vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Others didn't show symptoms until many, many months after being vaccinated. And some of them have never received a diagnosis of autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Ever, at all.
It's only 12 cases and like all of them are lies.
Yeah. Why would someone do this? Do you want to guess why someone might do all this?
He has a political motivation.
You're very close.
Yeah.
Politics is this far away from the actual answer.
Religion.
Money. Money. He was in it for the money, honey.
Of course, he was in it for the money, honey.
Deer found out that Andrew Wakefield had two big financial motivations.
Tim, strike my my answer.
Yes.
It was the money.
Yes. It's recently it come was the to money, my attention. So Deer found out that he had two big financial motivations for making sure that his research turned out the way that it did. First, he was being paid handsomely by a lawyer who intended to sue vaccine manufacturers on behalf of parents of children with autism. In fact, he even found the patients for his study, these 12 children, through an anti-vaccine group with links to this lawyer that the lawyer shared with him.
Wow.
And as if that was not enough, the year before the study was published, Andrew Wakefield applied for a patent for an individual measles vaccine. In his mind, he was trying to scare people away from combined vaccines, not all vaccines. He thought if people were afraid to take the MMR, that they would just take his measles vaccine on its own and that he would make a fucking mint.
You can get a patent for a vaccine that you didn't develop. I don't want his vaccine.
No, nobody does.
Yeah.
But he thought he was going to make a bunch of fucking money from this shit.
And so gross.
Neither of these facts were disclosed in the Lancet study, which is really fucked up, but also basically inexcusable for a respected medical journal.
Yeah.
That they did not disclose either his financing or financial
conflict of interest.
Yeah, exactly. In 2004, Brian Deer contacted the Lancet with his concerns, saying what was going on, what he was finding in his research. And instead of addressing any wrongdoing or admitting to any wrongdoing or negligence, the editors of the Lancet just dug in their heels and said they were right, he was wrong, leave it alone. Eventually, though, his investigation and the results of his investigation became too damning to ignore. And Wakefield's paper was finally retracted in 2010. But by this point, it had already been it had already been part of official scientific literature for 12 years.
Oh my God.
So at this point, I think it's time to take a little break. I need another drink.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Natalie.
And I'm Cass.
And we're the hosts of Shared History,
a comedic history podcast exploring the stories of the often overlooked or underrepresented.
The people and events your history books may have glossed over, whitewashed, man-washed, or left out completely.
From the Mayan creation myth to the Deaf President Now movement of the 1980s.
From ancient scientist Avicenna to first female principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, Wilma Mankiller.
If you saw it in a footnote once,
or have never heard of it,
we are here to share it with you.
Join us in a rotating guest list featuring scholars, writers, teachers, entertainers, entrepreneurs, subject matter experts, and more.
Tune in to Shared History on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, you know the drill.
And follow us at SharedPod on Instagram and Twitter.
And as always,
share you later.
So Mark Twain once said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is putting on its shoes.
Yes.
And that is certainly true of Andrew Wakefield's lies about vaccine safety. Right after The Lancet published this study, UK media started publishing all of these wild-ass articles about whether or not the MMR vaccine was safe. These just asking questions style articles about like, oh, is it safe? I don't know. Who am I to say? You know, like, you're nobody to say, so shut your fucking mouth. Why are you talking about this if you are not a doctor or a scientist? But all of these publications across the UK started publishing these articles, seeding doubts among parents in the UK and around the world. In the late 1990s, the United Kingdom's MMR acceptance rate was climbing towards the 95% necessary for herd immunity against measles. Yes. After 1998, that number dropped to around 80%, and rates of measles blew up in the UK. It took nearly two decades for UK immunization rates to recover.
That's so upsetting.
By the end of those two decades, UK families had experienced more than 12,000 cases of measles, hundreds of hospitalizations, many of them with serious complications, and at least, that we know of, three deaths. And this was not just happening in the UK. There were outbreaks across Europe and the wider world, and countries who had recently decided to be measles-free or declared to be measles-free were starting to see new cases out of nowhere. Cases in Europe went up four times. There was a four-fold increase in measles cases in Europe. 35 preventable measles-related deaths were reported in 2017 alone. And in the US, measles had been declared eliminated, completely gone, in the year 2000. Since 2000, there has been a resurgence of measles.
Like whooping cough.
Yes, with more than 2,216 reported cases in the past 20 years. Now, that number may seem very small compared to the UK's 12,000, because obviously the United States is much bigger than the UK.
So much bigger.
And we've only had 2,000 cases. However, that number is so low because almost every state in the nation mandates an MMR vaccine for children to enter public school or go into daycare.
Good.
So those 2,000 plus cases in the United States in the past 20 years, homeschooled by anti-vaxxers.
Okay. It's their right to, you know, give their kids diseases.
Exactly. Good times. Vaccine reluctance is not just about measles. Every year, the flu kills 100 to 300 children under the age of five. And 85% of those children who die from the flu, 85% of them are reportedly not vaccinated when they die. And these deaths are all easily prevented by vaccination. Yeah. So Andrew Wakefield has blood on his hands. But so does The Lancet for publishing a study that was not peer-reviewed, had a 12-person sample size, and didn't mention the author's financing or financial stakes.
But it was so sexy.
It was very sexy.
It was like, ooh, people are going to click on this.
Absolutely.
Because
absolutely.
They want to save their children. Well, and they don't.
Was there clicks in 1998?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we had Windows 95. So, yeah. There was an internet. But I don't, like, there was no clickbait. Clickbait was not a thing yet in 1998,
I think. Yikes.
It was just like paper bait.
Yeah. And it spread so fast without the internet.
Yeah. Tabloids. It was tabloid. Yeah, tabloids, you know. Okay. So writing it in the American Spectator, Robert Goldberg said, Wakefield's fraud is besides the point. He was able to do so much damage for so long because the media, the scientific community, politicians, and trial lawyers found it in their interest to believe in lionism. We ate our young. Wakefield just gave us the recipe.
Mm.
The Lancet published Wakefield's original article in 1998. Though the study's weaknesses were evident back then, it was clear to Wakefield and the law firm that paid him millions to concoct the research and falsify his conclusions, that it would be enough, once published in a major medical journal, to spread a wildfire of fear about vaccine safety. He was not wrong.
Yeah.
So, thanks in part to Brian Deer's reporting, UK medical authorities finally revoked Wakefield's medical license, citing deceit and callous disregard for the children in his care. But over two decades have passed since his study was published, and this vaccine autism myth still persists to this day. Since losing his license, Andrew Wakefield has continued to campaign against vaccines and is now, at this point, a celebrity within the anti-vax movement. He even came out with a movie in 2016 called Vaxxed, which attacks the CDC for supposedly hiding data that shows the correlation between vaccinations and autism.
Whoa.
It was actually pulled from a film festival. He tried to get this movie entered in a film festival, and it got pulled before it was ever shown. But you can find this movie if you're an anti-vaxxer. It's easy to find this movie online.
Wow.
Yeah. So much garbage. Damage has already been done, and so many people are already on the anti-vax bandwagon that discrediting Wakefield and highlighting his self-interest and his fraud and publishing legitimate, large-scale, peer-reviewed studies proving him wrong has not been enough.
We don't have a lot of scientific literacy.
No, not
it's really
at all.
Hard to read, like, real studies.
Absolutely.
I'm sure The Lancet made it real easy because it wasn't even a real study to begin with.
Yeah, totally.
They made it very easily digestible.
Which is exactly why it blew up in the way that it did, was because it wasn't a real study. There wasn't enough data.
Yeah, people aren't reading, like, the control settings and, like, the results and, like, they're not reading any of that.
No.
Because it's very dense and it hurts your brain.
Totally. Absolutely. Yeah. So the fact that he has been proved wrong is not enough to discredit him or to convince people that vaccines do not, in fact, cause autism. Nor do they cause infertility or paralysis or death or any of the other diseases and conditions that I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. Of course, we have since entered the Trump era, where it is now suddenly deeply political, the issue of vaccinations.
I wish things that actually caused all those things were in the media.
Right?
Like all the consumer products that we have around us that actually lead to decreased fertility.
Petroleum products, essentially.
And petroleum products, like, that sounds like, oh, I don't have petroleum products.
Everything in your life is a petroleum product.
Anything plastics that is synthetic.
Yeah.
I mean, I know our listenership is mostly women, but fertility has dropped dramatically just because of mixed blended boxer shorts.
Really?
Oh, the studies coming out of Europe are damning.
Oh my God.
Men should just be wearing cotton, but they're not. It's bad.
I had no idea. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. Anything that's poly blend, and poly feels good.
Yeah. Which,
and it's stretchy.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Oh, thank God I don't want to have kids.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us aren't going to be able to, because boxer shorts have been poly for decades.
Wow.
And we have the data and the data on that.
And the data. Data and the data.
I'm kind of on the fence, leaning towards I want kids, but I'm like, oh, all of the men I'm dating wear stretchy boxer shorts.
Yeah, I definitely wear boxer briefs. So yeah. They're certainly stretchy.
Yeah.
But that's fucked.
But even if you're not trying to have... I'm not trying to scare people, but synthetic fabric is not the way to go.
No, totally.
Because there's a lot of microplastics that just get absorbed into our skin, which is, again, the largest organ in our body.
Yeah. Wow.
And I think I know a lot of this because I work for a fashion company. I'm just like, yikes, this is bad. But I'm glad that people are studying it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not just the U.S. It's been documented around the world. I'm totally derailing this conversation.
Well, there's also a lot of scary science around, like, vaccinations and the fact that people don't believe in science and modern medicine and modern science. It has absolutely made it easier to spread misinformation because you can interpret something however you want.
Yeah. A lot of findings are just put into clickbaity articles.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then you actually, if you like click on the hyperlinks that take you to the scientific literature, you read it and you're just like,
"That's not what that said at all."
This is a study of 35 people.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
or like
there are
you're
so
just
many confounding
misinterpreting
variables.
The data too.
Yeah. Science is fucking hard.
I know.
And I think most scientists are doing the real work and they're not trying to misrepresent their data or their data. but I guess some are.
Yeah.
But I think they're in this, it's a small minority.
No, he was doing this for money. I don't think that most scientists are doing this.
No.
Whether it's from scientists who are misrepresenting themselves or people writing clickbait articles because they know they can make money from clickbait that is misrepresenting other people's data and data. Either way, I think that we need to find a way to shut down misinformation and restore public trust in science and medicine. Unfortunately, I hope that you didn't think that this was going to be helpful, because I don't know what the answer is here. I don't know how we do that. I do think that forcing Facebook and other social media platforms to control and shut down misinformation might help. It's not going to solve the problem completely, but it will help slow the spread of misinformation and, you know, the virus of misinformation.
It is such a virus because it has spread for so long, and it's going to be hard to eradicate.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if you've watched that documentary on Netflix, Social Dilemma.
No, I have not. I can't handle it.
Everyone needs to watch this documentary, because it's people who are working in the industry highlighting, I mean, a lot of them have since left the industry.
Sure.
But they're highlighting all of the things that they were a part of building.
Okay.
And how problematic they're seeing it in application now.
Yeah.
As opposed to how they intended it to function.
Sure.
It's like a contagion in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. Yeah. Social media. Yeah. That's why we absolutely need to slow the spread.
Because it's so monetized now.
Yeah.
Disinformation is clicked on at higher rates than real information.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, that, absolutely. That's why these social media platforms exist.
Everyone needs to watch The Social Dilemma to make sense of this conundrum we find ourselves in. And I just think the more people know of, are aware of the full scale of the problem, then we can try to fix it.
Well, that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
I am sticking to it, absolutely.
Boo!
I wish I could get away from it, but it is stuck to me.
Well, our drinks have long been empty because we're so upset by all of this. I know I've been drinking my feelings.
Yes. Facts are facts, America.
Thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. This has been Stephanie Domingo.
And Tux Lerzel.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and our podfather. We could not do this without him.
Impossible.
It is impossible.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note that we are not historians. We're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. And remember that written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and make sure you follow us on Instagram, because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves, and we have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.